Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome back, players, to the Lucky Die. Previously, Laffian plays a game, Raoul finds Caden's memory, Squash becomes big, and Sultana questions her intuition. As they leave Electo behind, Laffian keeps the group together as he approaches his final battle with the first king of the elves. Working with Squash as his battlefield eyes, Laffian wins the Trial of the Brain and receives a magical scroll as a reward. Now face to face with Talus's mum, the team enter her version of Cicero as she offers them help on their path. Where is Talvin? How do they find the ritual to free Calamor? And what is Talus's mum's name? I guess you're about to find out. Welcome back to the Lucky Die.
Find yourself in a beautiful, warm village. Rose, Talus's mum, is walking you through the little houses in the area. You can see that there are lots of people wandering around and they greet you and say hello, smile or nod or continue about their days. Rose takes you to a small little cottage. It's one story. There's a little picket fence around the edge. Some of it's a little broken, still needs repair. But you can see there are lots of flowers growing. But what you kind of notice most of all in the garden off to one side is that there are a few chunks of wood and a few chunks of rock that look like they're partially sculpted into pieces of art that have yet to be finished. The house itself is made of a white brick, and there are climbing roses of red and pink all over the building. And she takes you inside. Inside, there is a small wooden table round, and there are a couple of chairs around it. You can also see off to one side, there is a fireplace and a cooking spit. Also, another set of doors that lead off, you would presume, to the bedroom. What do you want to do?
Raoul is just happily chatting away, whether he is being listened to or not. excited to meet Talus's mum.
She comes across as like pretty pleasant, happy. You know, she seems very at peace. You know, like when you meet someone, you're like, that person knows exactly who they are, and they're just getting on with their, in this case, death. But yeah, they seem very comfortable and very happy.
So I guess I should ask. What are you doing in Cicero when you're not dead?
We kind of have a few things that we're trying to accomplish. I believe that Zoltana has her own thing that needs doing, but we kind of need to get in touch with whoever would be in charge of the armies here. I know that's a bit asking much, but...
Oh, I see.
We're kind of trying to save the world.
Well, you could get to it through this version of Cicero if you keep walking across it. Or go back to the road you came from and continue along the path until you see either a lion or a tiger, depending on your outlook. It usually marks the hole or doorway or turnoff, and that should lead you to the Elysium stage. That's where you'll find the people who run that side of Cicero.
Okay.
I don't know much about that. I'm waiting for Caden and Talus before I decide if I want to become something else.
That's fair. Suddenly I feel less okay about Caden, but that's fine. It's fine.
Less okay? Is something wrong with him?
Well, nothing anymore.
He's Caden.
Exactly. He's Caden.
You see, she kind of smiles a little bit. This is a joke she's probably heard and made a couple hundred times.
There was a point where he may have been deceased, but it's fine. He's not.
I know.
When you guys came to this era, she literally thanked you for helping him.
We've done a lot of helping is the thing. Caden needs a lot of help, but it's okay. We're friends.
He needs a little guidance now and then, but it seems like he's doing better.
I think he's got a dampener on his XP gains or something. He's not leveling as quick as we are.
Well, he was dead.
Took an XP penalty for dying.
Oh, shit. This is one of those games? Oh, fuck. Wait a minute.
Wait, so can you see Talus and Caden from here? Can you interact with them?
We can watch over our loved ones every now and then. For me, I can look into the well, see them in the reflections, see and feel how they are. For others, it's looking into a mirror or a crystal ball or holding something they love. It's different for everyone, but for me, it's the well. Why do you ask?
Oh, just, I guess I never thought about what the people beyond can actually see. And for a second, I dumbly thought that maybe you could hear our prayers. I don't know, I'm being silly, sorry.
You're not. Not at all. I hear Talus sometimes. I hear Caden a lot.
Is haunting a thing? Is that an option for you?
For me?
I mean, not you specifically. I don't take you to be the type, but...
You'd have to probably avoid the specters for that.
She looks like she was about to say something, and then she looks over at Rallan and nods.
Yeah. That's something you have to speak with your specter about. I never wanted to do that, so I never asked.
We'll probably make Spectre mad.
Some, probably.
Or give him a good laugh, depending on how you reason it.
Do you want to send them a message? We could tell them a message for you.
Yes. Please, can you tell Caden that it's not his fault? Tell him that it's time for him to forgive himself, because I forgive him.
Sure. Yes.
Thank you. He worries about that a lot. As far as I can tell, it's been a long day for you. You can rest here with us if you want. I know I wouldn't want to go back on the road for a bit.
That would be, yeah, I, I think taking a break might be very good.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
I don't know that we have the time. We're kind of on a deadline here. We might be able to take a short rest at most, but I think we should be moving on after that.
I don't know how time works here.
That's part of the problem. Plane of travel and time is wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey things.
What does that mean?
Can Rog get a sense of that in any way at all?
So
like how much time ratio is happening?
On a side note, you do know that the spell that Demi sent you to here and the connection that she has with the stones to squash means that however long you spend here is however long you will spend in the physical realm. She slash they slash a bunch of other people have done something with magic to keep you within the physical magic time stream.
Oh, okay.
I had it in my back of my head, like, there was something like that, but I couldn't remember exactly. Thank you, V.
Yeah, and you never really discovered how they managed that or what they were doing. You just know that it has happened.
We just know that Father of Time has a black eye and empty pockets right now.
Well, future you has done that. I mean, whatever. Time travel shenanigans. No.
Future Squash has a black eye for no reason.
He feels it, like, right now for the entirety of time.
You mean like Tony in all the Avengers movies?
Oh, no.
Conspiracy.
It will take a couple of days to get there from here.
I'm sorry, days?
Cicero is huge. Almost half the population that has ever died is here. And you've no inkling how big that area would be?
No.
Imagine everyone who ever lived. Half of them are here with places like this. Some of them share, but most of them don't. The other half of Cicero is where they become somewhere else. This place is massive.
Are there portals or waygates, something? Can we just go back through the door?
Yes, a door for you, or a turnoff for me, but yes. You would have to go back there and continue traveling however as far down your road or corridor or crawl space.
It wasn't that big.
It looked long.
Is this going to be like one of my nightmares where I'm walking down the hallway and yet somehow can never reach the door at the end? I thought this was supposed to be the nice place.
I'm in the nice place. You are visiting. I think the rules are different for you.
We don't get to have nice things.
Well, I guess that depends.
Rather, I should say the nice things are back on the material plane. Okay, we want to take a rest. I suggest we keep it short and then go. Especially if it's going to take days.
You might be able to find magic users in other places, but I'm just a sculptor.
Does that work here? Like, their magic when they're dead, but here that works?
She shrugs.
You'd have to ask. I wouldn't know.
You're a sculptor?
She nods.
What do you sculpt? Where?
Where?
Where? Show me.
She kind of looks like a little bit embarrassed. And then she smiles and says,
Yeah. Actually, let me show you where the well is. It's my favorite piece.
Rolf fancies himself a sculptor as well.
Really? What do you sculpt with?
And she kind of gets up and opens the door to leave.
His tongue.
I'm sorry. What?
Okay, I forgot about that. And for a second, I was like, that sounds really sexual, dude.
That's what he did. That's what he does.
I'm an artist with my tongue.
No, that's Taylor's mom. Stop.
I am an adult. I'm not a child.
But you are sacred.
She takes you right outside. The others, you can stay or go as you please. Yeah, she takes you, yeah, the rest of you can stay or go as you please. and she takes you to the well. It's in the middle of the town, and you can see other people walking around, but you kind of get the idea after a while that they're not, maybe not real. But the well feels real. And as you approach, you can see that there is kind of like a stone circle. And you can see that each of these stones has been carved an image of something, either flowers or roses, or they're images of a small girl. And you can see as you're looking around this that this girl is getting taller and older and then suddenly goes from 7 or 8 to 18. You can see that this has all been carved around this stone circle. And as you look into it, you can see that it's just water at the bottom. It's very clear. And it has this tiny little wooden roof that again has been carved and sculpted to look as if it's a giant hand that has come out of the ground and is covering the well.
Hmm. Wow.
You could say that I've had some time on my hands. Some years, really.
It's very nice.
Thank you. What do you sculpt?
Rall gets out his egg.
I'm sorry, his what?
My egg, you know.
Wow, it's a wooden egg.
Oh, my gosh. I had a fucking heart attack for a second. I was like, wait a minute. I don't remember.
Sorry. Rao does not have step one egg.
Step one light egg.
Sorry. She kind of like reaches forward, like, just not to take it from you, but she's like,
may I?
Yeah.
This is really good work.
Thanks. You can add something to it if you want.
Oh, no. I wouldn't dream of interfering with someone else's art, but it's beautiful. There's no tool markings. Do you...
Raw, like, kind of sticks a claw at his mouth and...
Oh, okay. That's
she has it back to you like awkwardly.
Oh, good.
Like, I need to go wash my hands.
Yep.
Well, you just ruined her Christmas.
It's really good. You really have an eye for art. Is that what you are outside of all of this?
And she kind of like indicates like the, you know, the kind of knuckle dusters on your hands and like the obvious like signs of fighting upon you.
No, yeah, I'm a fighter. Kind of.
Well, I think your soul is an artist. This takes time and vision. Maybe if you stop being a fighter one day, if you want to, if you can, that is, this is something you will really be good at.
Yeah, you know, maybe. We'll check back in one day, huh? Compare work again.
I don't think my spit would work, but I could try some kind of acid. I've never tried working with it before.
I can leave you some.
She looks dubious for a second, so she doesn't know how to say no. And then she just shakes her head a little bit and she smiles and she's like,
great. That would be great. Thank you. You know what? I will make you something. So make sure that you don't get burned out and definitely don't get lost. So come here when you're done and I'll show you what I've learned. Yeah? I'll definitely have something for you by then.
He smiles. Aww. Yeah, this mom is so nice for you.
She tries. You're a little blown away by the arrival of 4 random people.
Yeah, this isn't what you expect when you're just like chilling in your oven, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, then my daughter's friends are here.
And they didn't even knock.
Sultana, did you go with them? Are you hanging out back at her place or taking a walk around the meadows and all that shit around? What are you up to?
You know what? I think Sultana is there like a nice like bathtub in this place? I think Sultana's gonna treat herself.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yes.
like, you kind of look around for a bathtub and you kind of look out the back windows and you can see that there is like this kind of hedge arrangement that has like climbing roses and like lavender, and there are like these kind of bushes around. And as you move your head and stand up a little bit, you can glimpse like there's this copper bathtub outside. You can see that there is like a pump for water out there as well. It's like glorious sunshine, so it's super warm out.
Zoltana's going to take a nice relaxing bath. Put her hair up like, in like a little warm. But in like a little towel, soak, you know.
This is so beautiful. It's really warm out. And that, like, these little kind of like dragonflies and butterflies that are constantly flying around. The water is perfect temperature because, you know, it's Cicero and everything's supposed to be happy. And there are lots of bubbles, if you wish, and oil. Like, it's just, it's really nice. This is, like, super good.
Yay!
I love it. And the towel is super fluffy.
And then after her bath, she's going to relax and lay in the meadow and read her book.
Which book?
The one that I still haven't finished that's on my character sheet somewhere. Where is it?
I believe that's the one about making speeches and making friends. Is that the one?
Probably. I think that's the only
one. The one you got from Ogmar's library, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, Ogmar. I thought it was Savras for a second. All right, great. Cool beans. I love it. Squash.
Arch, what is Lafayette up to, if I may ask?
He's probably sitting there meditating, to be honest.
All right, then I'm not going to feel guilty about this. I'm going to pull you into bullshit.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Roll for bullshit.
Oh, no.
Squash 100%.
I think when Zoltana and Raul kind of go their own ways to do their things, Squash, like, after a short while, he, like, gets out his old green cloak and he's, like, kind of just thumbing over it and looking for, like holes to patch over and stuff like that. And eventually he just kind of looks up at Lafayette and just like, Lafayette, could you help me a little bit?
What you need?
Just an extra pair of hands. I want to patch up my dad's old cloak. It's been a while and, it's got a big old burn hole on his shoulder right now, so.
It's like a shape of a hand.
Laughing without even, like, moving or opening his eyes, just, like, a semi-translucent hand appears next to you and just wiggles its fingers at you.
Mm. That's nice. And he kind of, like, puts the cloak in the hands of the, like, into the fingers of the hand so it holds and stretches against them. And he's just kind of like absentmindedly like pulling like out needles and threads and stuff out of like bags and pockets he has. And he works kind of quietly for a while until he like. What do you think of the shorter lived races?
In regards to what?
It's. I don't know how to say this exactly. I haven't been around a lot of elves and dwarves in my lifetime. But the few that I've met, I have always gotten... Not a single one of them I ever felt like a friend with. Until you and Zoltana. But it always felt off. I've made not friends, but acquaintances with... half orcs, with humans, with gnomes, but elves and dwarves, for some reason, I've always felt like they look at me like a little bit weirdly. And I've had an experience, and he says this as he pulls out like a kind of a bright colored material out of the bag of holding, and he just takes a scissor to it and cuts a little square out. There was a man I knew. He was doing a drug called tar, and it kills you. It kills you fast. Once you start, there's no going back. It's not good. And I made him so many promises because I knew he wasn't going to be around for very long. Because I knew in the scheme of my life, these promises meant really nothing, maybe a month or two. I promise I won't steal again. It's for a month or two. You'll be dead. You're killing yourself. And I think that's how I feel, the feeling I get from longer-lived races about a shorter-lived races. It often doesn't feel like real, because you kind of just, we're just a flash.
To be honest, for most of, I can't really speak as much for the dwarves, but at least for the elves in particular, you're not that far off. At least not as a whole, that a lot of them, that's how it is. I think part of that, though, is because of the fact that most elves are content to stay in their realm. And I think that is kind of wherein lies part of the problem, but also part of the solution.
How do you mean?
If I had not been subjected to everything that I was, if I had not left my home, if I had not been thrown in prison, I don't think I would have the worldly experience that I do from having to travel all over the place, from meeting all these different people, from falling in love, from everything that I've experienced. It's a very different outlook upon the world than most elves would have. And I think that is where the problem lies. I think if more elves were subjected to seeing the world, seeing the other races, and just getting to know them, things would probably be very different.
So you think it's just experience? You think people will grow and adapt? Their mind will expand?
I think that people grow based on their surroundings and the things that they are subjected to over their lifetimes. Elves very much are akin to trees. They set deep roots, and they grow ever upwards, and they branch out, but never that far.
Squash has a genuine smile on his face.
I think that if they were to reach in different directions than just upward, they may see other things than just the sun.
He's at this point probably like getting well done with like patching up the big burn spot. I hope you're right. I really do. I've been afraid since Demi told me about the whole Father of Time thing. Supposedly that's going to extend my life. And I don't want to lose the point of view I have. I don't want to be unable to connect and bond with people. And I don't want to give an air of carelessness. And I hope you're right. I really do, because I really do.
Then just make sure that you grow wide and not just tall. And I don't mean that by stuffing your face.
Squash just kind of chuckles into his neck and like moves the cloak around in the magic hand.
If you need an example besides me, just look at Pintor. He may have grown up in the realm of elves, but he lived for a good portion of it as well with the dwarves. And even just that experience on its own changed him. Neither he nor I are anything like our father or our mother, who spent much of their time in the elven realm and nowhere else.
Yeah.
At least not that father's told me, but...
That would be as far as you know, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about experiences. It's all about learning from the world as much as the world learns from you. People always talk about leaving their mark, but they forget about the mark the world leaves on them.
Thank you, Laffian.
Of course. I may not have the wisdom of the ages, but what wisdom I have, I'm willing to share.
Squash is just rolling up the the cloak, like admiring his handiwork a little bit, just happy that he hasn't forgotten how to sew and that he puts it away.
Better than I. I can't sew at all.
Two comments. One, they are some dope ass smoke rings. And secondly, you said brightly colored cloth. Do you mean whatever cloth came to hand, or is there a specific one?
I didn't have a specific color in mind, but since the cloak is not used for sneaky burglary things, I don't. I it can literally be any color.
Okay.
I'm picturing yellow for some reason.
Probably since that bag was Demi, sticking your hand in there and going cloth, it's probably going to be something along, the yellow, the orange, or the red variety, so.
Fire.
Her shit you just stole from again. And not only stole from, you cut into.
She doesn't need it where she's going.
It's like a bright yellow summer dress.
Too much?
You only get an ass whooping when we go back to the print material plane. Demi's gonna be like, you think I didn't fucking hear that? You think I didn't fucking hear? Boom, boom, boom. We're connected, bitch. Right. Boom, boom.
Okay, Zoltana, in your bath, or sorry, as you are reading your book, I would like you to please roll 2d20s.
I got a 1 and a 10.
Cool. You have gained 11 new followers thanks to Elise's efforts.
Awesome. I would like to put my book down and I'd like to call my dog to me. I don't believe it. Everyone's always saying that I never remember I have a dog, and I remembered. I remembered, you guys.
She very, in response to your memory of her, she very quickly like comes around from like a nearby bush or a nearby tree, and she just kind of like, pads over towards you, and she kind of like sits down and lays her head on her front paws. She looks a little bit miffed, I guess.
I wanna do some bonding time with her. I'm gonna go over and I'm gonna be like, hey, I'm sorry that I had you hold the door for us, and I promise I won't do it again, okay?
Can you roll a you can roll either an animal handling or a persuasion roll, whichever is your highest. You're 100% correct why she was miffed.
It's going to be persuasion. Got an 11.
She looks not exactly happier and her ears are still a bit more like alert than she would be, like, very, you can tell when she's comfortable. She's not wonderfully comfortable, but she's at least calmed down a little bit. She's a lot less angry at you.
I know I probably
sorry has gone a long way.
But I am going to take some, a jerky ration out of my pack. And mm-hmm. I'm going to hold it out for her.
She kind of stands up really wearily and like heads over to you, and she does that thing where she opens her mouth very, very quickly and snatches the ration away from you. And then she eats it, looks her head down and looks back up with like big eyes like, oops, sorry. Doggo knows she done wrong.
No, that's okay, because I was offering it to her, so I wanted her to take it. I go over and I offer my hand up like tentatively to see if she'll let me give her pets.
She kind of like nudges your hand with her nose a little bit, and then she kind of like gives it like one solid lick, and then she settles down at your feet.
I give her some pets, and then I am gonna, let me see, what do I have in my pack? I think I have, okay, I'm like almost sure I took like a skull or something a couple of
years
ago.
Bear
you have
stuff.
A bear head.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the bear head out of my pack and I'm going to hold it up and I'm going to go, want to play fetch?
You have the grossest thing in Cicero right now.
She kind of like jumps up. She doesn't have her, like her tail isn't wagging. She's not playful, but she wants to, like, for her, this is like a exercising her skills rather than playing. But yeah, she's into this.
Pouncing exercises.
I'm gonna roll my athletics to see how far I can throw.
Okay, all right, go for it. If you get an at 20 on this, I'm gonna
you
laugh.
You are
God.
Doing. You are doing 13. This literally in someone's heaven right now. You're in someone's heaven right now doing what you're doing.
I am Zoltana is owning it and making dog. It her heaven.
I am playing with my dog, Raul. Either one. I am playing
all
with
dogs
my
go to heaven.
Aww. Yeah, on a 13, you did get like a good lob on it and she goes like bounding after it. Yes, your bond with your companion has grown ever stronger.
I'm just going to spend the rest of the afternoon playing fetch with her.
Plus one to reputation with Electo. Electo will remember this.
Yes, Electo will remember this. Playing fetch with a bear head. Sorry, a demon bear head. I need to remember.
Plus one paragon, minus one renegade.
I love it. Okay. All right. Unless anyone wants to try or interact or do anything else, then I'm going to roll forward to the morning. Rose feeds you something that kind of vegetarian and just tastes really good. It's not the best meal ever, but it's as good as she'll ever manage for cooking suddenly for four more mouths than one. Yeah, and it's a very comfortable, pleasant night for you all. So you get to regain back all your hit points, all of your expending resources. Like, everything gets reset and goes back to where you should be.
Fuck. Okay.
Raul, I need your roll, my dude.
Yes. Oh, what is that? What dice is that now?
Oh, my God. I think it's still a D8. I'll check, though. PM notes. Here we go. It's a D6. You're right.
Shit. I hate being right. This sucks.
Well, you set these up. You're fine. You're absolutely fine.
For how long, though, V? For how long, though?
Oh, yeah. Thanks to Zoltana, you still have another 11 days on D6s. All right. Morning comes around and she feeds you once again. She kind of leaves the food on the table, but she's not around when you wake up in the morning. The day is much like yesterday. It is warm. The sun is shining. There's ne'er a cloud in the sky. It's just comfortable. What do you want to do?
We leave.
Without saying goodbye, you barged in here without knocking.
No, we say goodbye, but we need to go.
Okie dokie. She kind of like...
Thank you for your hospitality. We must depart.
She waves the four of you goodbye. She can see that she's kind of like leaning over the well and just paying a little bit more attention to that than the four of you leaving. She kind of gives you all a hearty wave and you find yourselves back in the corridor.
Is this like one of my nightmares? Is the end of the hallway ever out of reach?
The end of this hallway, to your left-hand side, is a doorway that would lead you back to, like, in the physical realm, would lead you back to the kind of, like, temple area itself, the entrance hall where Claws and Guardian are normally situated. The other end of this hallway is the door that leads to the mirror room. So this is exactly the same corridor as you'll find in Falsum Fasim, in the temple underneath Falsum.
Okay, which one?
You know
one?
That the door straight opposite you is the one that led to the Ancient King. The door behind you led to Talus's mum.
We need to find a door with a lion or a tiger on it. Not a bear. Lion and a tiger, not bear. Does the mirror room door have a lion or a tiger on it?
It does not.
Fuck me.
So we've been in the left room and the right room.
Mm-hmm.
That's the peace room and mm-hmm. the...
Temple.
Religious room?
Yep.
Yeah, the temple room.
So we don't have the forge. We don't have...
You on the right-hand side, chair. There would be the room to, like, the forge, and then after that would be the room to the barracks. On the left-hand side would be the room to the room where you fought the statues, and the room after that would be death chair, and then the door in front of you would be the mirror room.
Okay. Everybody's thinking death chair, I think.
No.
Or we could go in or there. So,
of course, there's also the door behind you, so.
Yeah.
The problem is that we were specifically told to go for the door that's going to have the lion or the tiger on it. And none of these have that.
I'm assuming we're just going to have to explore.
That's the one thing we shouldn't be doing.
Why not?
It's going to take too long. I was told days to get there. Days.
So we have days to explore.
Okay, I'll just check really quick then. And Rob peeks his head.
Rob, nothing you do is quick. Okay.
Hey, he found the king.
Avril is going to go in order. We're going to go in order from where we first went, because that's what we've done so far, I think. We're doing the fighting ring room now.
Okay.
It's going to be a Valkyrie in there, like, fight me, bitch.
You open the door to what you, the some of you would know was where you fought the statues. As you open it, is Ral taking the lead on? Yeah, Ral's taking the lead on this. As Ral opens the door, what you see is an entrance to the fighting pit, to the fourfold. Apologies, I'll rephrase that. You find the fourfold in front of you. You can see that there are many chambers and doors exactly as you remember it into the hill. You can see that there is the fighting ring just below. You can see that there is a pathway that leads forward and further down into the earth dark. But there is no one here.
Yeah, Rod turns around and he's kind of like, he's got an uh-oh look on his face.
So clearly that's not the room, so let's move on to the next one then, yeah?
Okay, yeah, fair. And Rawl leaves before figuring out what's here, because it's probably not great.
It's probably somewhere that's okay. Going to whoop your ass.
Probably someone's going to whoop my ass face.
One of the people you killed is probably down there like, fight me, bitch, let's go. Fuck it, we're going in order. All right, what's in the crafting room?
I need to know who opens the door. Like, everything here depends on who is doing what.
Oh, fuck's sake, fine. Laffian opens the crafting room door.
What you see before you is a very familiar place. You see the forest and the trees and the homes of the forest surrounding Beligbud. Straight ahead of you, up in the trees, you can see that there is what has been built a house within the tree itself. You can see there's a balcony. And standing on this balcony, you see Talvin. He just seems to be enjoying the air. He hasn't noticed you.
Well, maybe he at least knows where the fuck we're supposed to go. Talvin! Oi! Oi!
Oi, Talvin!
He's not stepping in, he's just in the doorway. Oi!
You got your Cicero license. No,
where the fuck am I supposed to go?
Talvin just takes a moment to figure out what the fuck is happening. And he kind of looks around and he looks down in your general direction. He just looks a little stunned. And then he makes his way down and are you going to meet him or are you going to stay in your corridor?
No, I'm staying in the fucking door. I'm not falling for some bullshit.
Okay. All right, you sure? All right. Talvin kind of like walks over and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm not dead, I assure you.
He kind of like raises an eyebrow.
Not yet.
Right. Can I ask, what are the four of you doing here?
Well, we had a lovely chat with your ancestors, it turns out. Got the
thanks a couple of times. Yes. Lovely.
Yes, very, very fun one that
I
did the whole thing with
he
that.
He smiles.
Got the thing.
Like, I don't hold it against you.
He was nice enough. Maybe you can just expedite things because you like to know things and help me, right? Right? We're friends now. We made up, right?
He looks a little bit uncomfortable. Like, he feels like his face just clearly screams he thinks something else is going on here. And he says, help with what, Laffian?
We need to find the army of Cicero so that we can get them to help us save the world. The usual stuff, you know.
What was the name of the place that the people would be at?
The
Cicero.
Elysium, was it the amphitheater? No.
Stage.
Elysium stage, that was it.
Stage, yeah.
We were told, look for the door with the lion or the tiger. I don't know if you can stick your head out this door, but none of them have that on there.
He looks at you and then he kind of does indeed walk into your corridor and he kind of like scans what he can see and he says, I am not seeing a corridor.
What do you see?
I see a lake and a boat.
If you tell me that you see an illusory goldfish, I'm pushing your ass in.
He smiles. Yes, she told me about that.
Laffy loses his shit at that. Like, he just starts busting out.
He says, I could possibly take you there. I've gone through my own lake a few times, exploring, talking. I could probably row you out there, but it would take a couple of days at least.
So we've been told. I don't want to put you out. I know this is your rest.
Time of rest, yes. He kind of like smiles.
How would you... We just see a corridor, a stone corridor. We don't seem to see a different way. Do we just need to pass through the rooms?
As far as I understand it, from a mage who talked to me about how it kind of works here. If you come into my Cicero, I can take you out and you should see what I see. The pathway that you are on, the road, the lake, whatever, it's something that resonates with all four of you, I'm assuming. For me, it was a lake. Let's try it. And he kind of like steps back into Beligbud facsimile.
If you're sure.
We can only but try.
I would say that we need to test you or something to make sure that you're you, but you kind of already called me out.
I test you? I'm not 100% convinced that you're laughing. You are a very... I haven't known Laffin to be particularly needy or whiny right now.
What?
And that is what you give off.
Excuse me.
Damn.
Excuse you.
I like this Talvin a lot better than I like the Talvin that tried to kill us.
Well, he wasn't trying to kill you.
He kind of like smiles and laughs a little bit. He's like... I'm definitely not the same Talvin that you knew. Come in. Let's give this a try. Besides, you could probably just kill me all over again. And yeah, he goes back inside. If the four of you want to trust this version of Talvin, he basically just pushes close the door behind you and then pulls it open. And what you do is you find yourself kind of looking at a dock. And at the very end of the dock, there is this small boat, a small rowing boat. And you can see that there is a very large lake surrounded by trees and mountains and sandy beaches. It looks clear and calm. And Talvin just walks to the boat and sits down.
You guys killed this guy?
No. He got by the shadows.
Yes. Saving your father, actually.
Oh.
Your mother finished the job.
I'm not even surprised.
Your mother is better than any of you boys at the bow.
I don't want to talk about it. I'm blessed and cursed that I acquired powers of other nature.
He kind of, like, smiles, lifts one hand and, like, nods just a little bit along the lines of, like, that's definitely laughing.
Fucking cock the ass, motherfucker. Like, Lapian's just, like, muttering under his breath as he climbs into the boat.
With the four of you on board, unfortunately, there's not enough room for Electa, but you're pretty sure that she can just get to you whenever she wants. And she kind of, like, sits butt down on the end of the dock just watching you. She doesn't look sad or unhappy. She's just watching you almost like she's watching for enemies, like, you know, assessing the situation. She finds none. It's just a lake. And Talvin begins to row. It's going to take him 4 days. Actually, no. I'll tell you what. Let's leave this down to chance. Arch, roll a d6.
Oh, God. Okay.
This is where everybody hopes that Arch is containing, still has the roll 20 curse.
Nope, 5.
Oh, God damn it, Arch. You fucked us.
Oh, what a surprise.
Why didn't you roll better, Arch? Why would you do this to us?
Okay, I'll be kind. It takes you 4 days. I'll take one off. You have to take one off for the arch curse. It's fair.
Are you implying that I naturally have a -1?
I know. I'm just implying that it's unfair that roll 20 seems to want to fuck y'all. So, all right.
It's a 108. It's a feature at
you
this
are
point.
Kind of on this boat for about 4 days. It's, you know, not the smallest boat. It's not a massive boat by any stretch of the imagination either. And quite often he'll pull off to the side so that he can stretch and, like, you know, everyone can kind of get off their sea legs sort of thing. But it's a fairly calm trip, even though he rows very, very quickly. He doesn't seem to tire out as much as you would think a mortal person would, but he's dead, so he doesn't quite feel the same anymore. That makes you on evening 108. Let me scroll down and check a thing. Oh, God. Okay, I might need to change that.
At some point while we're traveling, he probably just mentions to Talvin that he gave Ninverna the ring and the whole thing that Ninverna is currently doing.
He looks, first of all, very thankful that you gave Ninverna the ring. And then looks suddenly very worried and terrified, and he kind of stops his rowing for a bit, and the boat continues, like, through momentum. And he says, She's going after the Blissful Eclipse and Dacian with just Damaz at her side.
Was. She has thus committed herself to the Way of Bloody Vengeance, as far as I understand it.
Talvin just kind of, like, nods in Zoltana's general direction.
And to that end, we did contact, I believe we contacted the Lodge.
Zoltana did, yeah.
So there is backup that is going to be there. We made it very clear that what they're going into is very dangerous.
Okay. Okay. And he just, like, picks up the oars again and, like, begins to row, but he's more focusing on what he's thinking than he is really rowing.
I made All sure right. that she didn't go down the same path that you did alone. She has help this time.
I appreciate that. With Zoltana and Adet at her side, I'm sure she'll be fine. She's very capable.
Talvin?
Hmm?
With conviction. Say it again.
Oh, she's capable. She'll be fine. She'll be fine. It's not the worry of the dead. She'll be fine.
Gives him a pat on the shoulder.
He continues rowing.
You know, you get a worry wrinkle right there on your forehead whenever you do that. And then he just, like, flicks him on the forehead.
He gives off the air, like, he's kind of just ignoring you at the point and just putting up with your bullshit. Like, he's clearly not paying any attention to
you
that.
You busted people's heavens and you just fuck with them. What is this?
You started it.
This is a place of peace and no, I didn't. I was giving hugs and very much enjoying Talus is mom's company. And we had a good conversation and left on good terms. But what are you doing?
Listen, it is not a true heaven for a mentor unless one of your students comes and fucks with you.
I think that
no,
might
I
be true.
I feel like that's the opposite.
No,
you need to be reminded of what you escaped.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
And then reminded that you can't really escape it.
Okay.
It's witty banter. We have a good time here.
Sultana, can I get you to roll? Let's see what the fuck they're doing. I'll get you to roll me 3d20 this time. At least, like, probably has been pulled aside by Tuck at some point. He's like, can you just stop? Just one night.
What do you need me to roll? 2d20 again?
Three, please. Three. One for each of the nights, apart from one, because Tuck finally had enough of her shit. And like, hey, we're having a date. I now have to remember to do night rolls for you and day rolls for Ral.
8, 10, and 3.
Nice. You have gained yourself 21 followers thanks to Elisa's efforts. Possibly would have gained more if it weren't for Tuck's efforts at having a normal life. Ral, in that case, I require 4 rolls from you, please.
Please don't put a hole in the bottom of this boat.
4d6s. You will, unless you, the last one is a roll, like you won't, and you're not going to sink the boat anyway, you won't suffer from exhaustion because you'll have made it up the next day. All right, let's do it. D6.
Oh, no, V.
You've got this. I have faith in you.
Oh, V. No, I don't.
You're going to bind your head inside your own fucking hoodie.
I have faith in you.
5.
All right, you're okay for
3.
One more day. You're still fine.
5.
Ooh.
You're still fine. Come on, last day.
No!
No.
Oh, boy.
We're going to die.
Roll acid attack against yourself, halved the damage because you have your belt set to acid, right? Oh, boy. And you have a level of exhaustion. Your belt is set to acid, right? They did make you reset that.
Yeah.
Partway through this day, Talvin pulls into a small dock, and you can see that kind of burned into the dock itself. You can see, like, from afar, you can see an image of a lion. It seems to be, like, it would just be standing and walking. Like, there's nothing majorly significant about it other than there is a symbol here for a lion. And he pulls up alongside.
I'm going to stop
and
you.
He jumps. Yes.
We just spent 4 days on a boat.
Yes.
I have 2 things.
Where are
No, no, nothing bad, but I'm not going to let
okay,
V steal, right. What would it be, like 120 hours or something stupid? I'm bad at math.
close.
I think it's like 96.
Pretty close, actually. Yeah, it's 96, yeah.
All right.
What would you like to do?
I have, first of all, I have the scribblings of the runes around the Forge of Worlds.
Yes.
Which I haven't or have not yet, like, researched what the hell they exactly are. But we know they're extremely
okay.
powerful. That's something I would like to do.
Yes.
And then I have a book which had completely fallen by the wayside until somebody reminded me about it.
All right, let's do your runes first. All right. Let's just do one nightmare for me at a time. All right. Okay.
All right.
So you have scribblings of the runes that yourself and Lafian like mm-hmm. wrote down, found out that was above the Forge of Worlds. Mm-hmm. As you look through this and something in the way that you perceive it, the way that you remember things, it reminds you very much of aspects of the giant rune that covered Geata. It's not the same. It doesn't stop teleportation, like flicking through like the various books that you have on magic. It's not the teleportation part. It is the anti-scrying part. It's the part that says this will stop things scrying on you. But this would take a long-ass time to either put in place, a lot of magic to put in place very quickly, or Yeah, it will either have to be put in place with basically a ritual of a few hours, or you would have to get someone with basically a level 9 spell slot to put this down in like a minute.
All right.
But this, you know it's anti-scrying, but you don't know to what level unless you make an arcana check. Yes, it's not the world's toughest. You might be able to already figure out what it would scry, protect you from scrying from, but...
Can I help him?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can have advantage.
Yeah, you're sitting on the boat with me. All right.
Hey, what you reading?
Fuck off. Fuck off, Lafayette. This is mine.
Give me the knowledge. I need
you can come read my Spectre's book with me.
You have a Spectre book? Raw, this is a job manual.
I think it is.
The training manual.
Chapter 1, clocking in at the main machine. Oh, what's it? Oh. You have to clock in?
So what did you get on your arcana check?
I was only a 14.
You know that it would prevent scrying spells from going through for example, like your average everyday sentient person.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe also demons, but you don't, you have a feeling that there is something else in here, but you can't tell to like definitely, other than sentient races, you don't know definitely what else it would protect against. But there are aspects in there that aren't just sentience. That's all you know.
All right. Let me add this to my info doc.
All right. And the second nightmare you're going to drop on me.
So when we were in Giada, we found a hidden wall, like a false wall at the back of a cave. And there were...
Right. Yes.
I think there was a body and a bit of gear. I don't remember if there was a body 100%.
Yeah, there were two corpses inside their sleeping bags. Mm-hmm. One of them broken their leg and the other one had starved to death.
Mm-hmm. And one of them had a magical tome, or at least a book yes. that oozed a little bit of magic. And hey, I've
yes,
got 96 hours to kill.
oh my God, Squash is turning into a nerd, guys.
There's nothing to steal around, so I gotta occupy myself somehow.
God damn it. All right.
Ooh.
Oh, thank you. From reading through this tome, you get, it's very difficult for you to read because it's not really in your language, but you do pick out the runes and you do pick out aspects of it. So I will allow you to learn from the wizard spell list one first, one second, and one third level spell.
Ooh. Okay, so it's somebody's spell book.
It's not just a spell book. It's also like their journal.
Okay.
I would also like you to roll another arcana check.
All right. Is Lafayette still helping me?
Yeah, assume he's there.
All right, cool.
Unless he's making Talvin annoyed or sad or whatever.
I mean, maybe annoyed, but, you know, not all the time.
That's a 20.
Okay. You said you wanted to learn the spell that Demi sent you to Cicero with, correct?
Yes.
So you basically had picked out the runes?
Yep.
Like, you can tell she did three runes, but you don't exactly know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
This book helps you to figure out some of them. In fact, it helps you to figure out what all types of the runes are. You, again, wouldn't be able to cast this spell, but you've at least figured out a portion of the puzzle. You can tell that the first one that she cast was a transfer rune. The second one she cast was a time rune. And the third one she cast was a teleport rune.
Transport, time, and teleport.
The first one she did was transfer.
Transfer.
As in moving something from A to B. The second one was time. And the third one was teleport. So imagine it like layers.
Yeah.
Like the first one she did, the second one did, she did the third one, and then pushes them together, and that got you here.
A rune sandwich.
This definitely does not correspond with like the planar travel stuff that you have read. There is something, she's definitely fucked with this spell.
All right. Yeah, the time part where they're locking us in time.
Yes.
All right. Makes sense.
I'll
pick my own spells. Thank you.
You're welcome. Rather than me trying to figure out spells that would be in here, like, this person would have a fuck ton of spells. Pick what you want. I don't give a shit. Pick things that make you happy. Okay. You find yourself on the dock. Talvin also gets out and joins you on the dock. And you see that Electra, as you're kind of like drifting in, just kind of like walks across onto the dock, and you can see that she's just sitting there waiting for the four of you. As you stand on the dock, he kind of like points through the trees and he's like, you should find the stage this way. Good luck, whatever it is you're doing.
What should we expect?
A performance. And he smiles.
Oh. That's not ominous at all? It's fine. We've been through enough trials and tribulations already. What's one more?
He reaches out a hand to each of you. And he kind of gives you a small nod and he says, hopefully I won't see any of you for a long time. Good luck. And he turns and walks along the shore.
Hi, everyone. Ral here. If you've made it this far in the show and you still have not left a review, it's still a good time, always a good time, to leave a review. Or maybe you have left a review in the past already, but have since then changed your podcast app, and you have not left a review on your new one. Maybe check to see if you have left a review. Those reviews go a long way to helping us. Every review that we have vouching for us is another person that might potentially come and find our community and give us a shot. So thank you so much for everyone who has left a review. And thank you, of course, again to all of our patrons. Thank you to patrons Rate, Christopher Dybert, and PC and Peregrine. I hope I at least got close to pronouncing those things right for you. Thank you so much for your support. It means the world to us. Last thing, thank you so much to Tien for providing your talent to us and playing Rose, Talus's mom, for this episode and the last episode. Thank everyone so much for listening, and we will see you all next episode. Bye!
She clearly doesn't know what she's doing.
She's just clearly very tired. She kind of curls into a little ball and shoves a little bit of food in her mouth and closes her eyes, and you can tell that she fell asleep immediately.
He's making friends in the only way he knows how.
Push-ups!
Oh!
Why? How do you get your strength?
Not upside down generally, but...
They're looking for love.
Hey, hi, I don't know if you remember us.
Yeah, you're the weirdos.
Yeah, some of us. Not me, I'm cool.
This is Tales of Bone and Ice, an actual play D&D 5e horror comedy podcast set in a post-apocalyptic frozen wasteland that takes place atop the frozen ocean. Follow along on their adventure as they learn to laugh, love, fight, and discover the hidden truth underneath the surface and uncover the secrets of their haunting and mysterious legacies, and maybe, just maybe, they won't die along the way. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.